We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Smack talk that's going to happen on this show. We encourage smack talk. Anytime I do a show, I always encourage smack talk. From all of you listening, feel free to join in on the program on Twitter, on the phone, again, 844-477-ESPN, and join in the smack talk. You can go whichever way you want. We don't get offended. So whether you are completely off the beaten path or you just don't like anyone, all these things are welcome today. And really, the first thing we're going to get into is just how much peril is your college football season really in? Because there are plenty of people on both sides of this argument. Oh, there's definitely going to be college football. They have to play. There's too much money. At the same time, are we not aware of what's going on around us? I mean, how many of your local beaches have closed? How many of your local businesses have had to close? How many people have lost their jobs again as COVID-19 infections continue to spike upward and upward and upward? That, look, if you've played football, you can't really wear a mask and social distance while doing these things. It's kind of impossible, right? You can't get a bunch of real big, huge dudes slamming into each other. Oh, sorry, let me wipe that spit off your mask there. I didn't quite mean that. Yeah, of course they... Man, I can't tell you how many stories I've heard from former players that I've worked with about stuff that goes down in the dog pile. These are reasons why I don't understand. Like, if I were a football player in the NFL today, not only would I wear a cup, I'd wear a cup in the front and the back. After hearing what goes on in those piles. Buddy of mine, Ted Johnson, played for the Patriots, won 3 Super Bowls with them. He told me, you know, guys will shove their hands in any part of a dude's body in a pile-up to try to get the football. Yes, including that part. I don't know about you. I'm not looking to get molested when I'm in the bottom of a dog pile, but these things go on. I think I'd want to wear protection back there. That's just me. But as we get more into detail of things going on with COVID-19 and what it's going to take to restart sports, and we see certain sports are trying to get started up right now, and they're all dealing with their own plethora of issues, how they're going to restart, problems in restarting, positive testing, how much testing, where is a test, who can be with who. How do we get to college football? Because while you get SEC football with South Carolina, you've got a title contender with Clemson. I imagine nobody in this area wants to see college football not happen or somehow be bastardized into 4 games and, well, that's all we're going to get, right? And with 37 guys testing positive at Clemson, and listen, if you're one of those people who want to come in with, oh, well, you know, the death rate is... Save it. Don't tell me about death rate. Because the bottom line is, we don't know enough about this disease to know what's going to happen afterwards. All right, you got Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz talking about how 3 months after he was cleared of COVID-19, he still has respiratory issues. The world-class athlete prime of his career, still dealing with the effects of the virus. We don't know. So the idea of it's not a big deal, they just get infected, get over it, they're young, they're healthy, they're strong, and it's not going to do anything to them. You don't know that. And you know who else doesn't know that? The kids were going to play. They don't know that. And look, I remember when I was 20, 21, I thought I was invincible. And I'm not afraid of this, not afraid of that. Hell, I got hit by an 18-wheeler on my bicycle, and I lived, so nothing can kill me. Yeah, you know, ruptured Achilles later, and then a re-ruptured Achilles later. It's funny how that kind of changes. But how do we get college football? Right? If we can't have 100 people in a bar, how do we have 90 people on the sideline? Well, plus coaches, plus staff, plus media, plus officials. And then same thing on the other side. How do we get to that? And here's another side to this, right? When you look at the schedules, Clemson plays, South Carolina plays, look at the schedules that they play. The SEC, the ACC, wealthier conferences. Well, they can afford testing. They can get their guys tested anytime they want. Right? They can have regular testing. They can be checking up on players. Well, what about some of these smaller conferences? Do you trust that they can have testing? Because, funny thing today, the former president of Ohio State said he supports universal COVID-19 testing. And this is Michael Drake, recently retired Ohio State University president, now the NCAA Board of Governors chairman, telling the Committee of Commerce, Science, and Transportation. He's telling Congress that not only does he support universal COVID-19 testing, but that the Big Ten doesn't have it. The Big Ten. If not the richest, the second richest conference in all of college football, they don't have universal testing. So if they don't have it, if you're Clemson, do you feel like Akron coming out of the MAC is getting tested as often as maybe they should be? Do you feel like the Citadel, who plays in FCS Southern, that all their players are going to be properly tested, continuously tested, over and over again? I mean, these are schools that are coming to play Clemson for a payday to make ends meet. And you think about, like, especially the Citadel game, right? Because Clemson's going to play the Citadel, supposedly, November 14th. A week later, South Carolina hosts Wofford, same conference. You get down to the end of the season, I know this is a bigger deal for Clemson than South Carolina because of the expectations of Clemson. What happens if your team gets a new rash of COVID-19 infections playing a game against a team that maybe doesn't have the same facilities a Clemson or a South Carolina have? Doesn't have the same testing ability a Clemson or a South Carolina has? Your players on your team, be it Clemson or South Carolina, are now more at risk because they're playing against other players who can't be tested as often as they can't be monitored as well as they can. Well, you think about that from the Clemson standpoint of first you're going to play an FCS school that doesn't have anywhere near the money you have. then 2 weeks later you're going to play South Carolina, who the week before will have played an FCS school that doesn't have anywhere near the amenities and testing abilities that Clemson and South Carolina have. And then a week later is the ACC championship. Do you feel like that puts them more at risk? Because I don't know how you can. How can you look at it and say, well, it's not that big a deal. Nothing else is going to happen. Because there's no way to know. And it, just think about, let's just take you in your daily life right now, right? When you go to Walmart, or you go to the supermarket, or wherever it is that you go for things that you need to get, and you see people who aren't wearing masks and aren't, you know, keeping their 6-foot distance, do you kind of go the other way? I do. When I see people who don't have masks on, I absolutely go the other way. When I see people that aren't social distancing, you know, they're getting too close to each other, I'm out of there. I'll go shop in a different aisle and come back over there later on. Now, I understand. I'm in my late 40s. I have different high-risk factors. But being high-risk or not shouldn't change the fact you don't want to get coronavirus. And I wouldn't want, if I am a coach or an admin or an AD, or hell, if I'm just a player, I don't want to get sick. I don't want the other guys on my team getting sick. How much does this put your guys at risk, particularly late in the season? Because if you're a Clemson fan, and you get down late in the season, and you're getting ready to play that ACC championship game, and you're looking for that playoff berth, and you find out 27 guys just tested positive, they're all going to quarantine for 2 weeks minimum. As a college football fan, you probably feel awful. As a human being, you ought to feel awful. That's not what we want out of our college season. We don't want to see top teams getting riddled by late season positive tests. And, you know, we haven't even, I'm not even going to get into it because it's just not worth it to me to push that far into the idea of, hey, what about when we get into that whole second wave? We'll get into more about that and how would you feel about spring football? We'll get to it next. Patrick Creighton in for Mark Ryan, Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We all know it. We started talking about the spring in March. and at that time, we were far more pessimistic than we were 4 weeks ago. And I think even more pessimistic than we are today. I think there are lots of challenges. It would be a last resort. And I think one of the biggest challenges, and it's probably the biggest one in my mind, is the proximity to then the next season. And frankly, a second lost spring ball.
And that's Penn State AD Sandy Barber talking about the possibility of college football playing in the spring. How do you feel about spring football? 844-477-3776, 844-477-ESPN. How do you feel about spring football? Do you want to see spring football? Would you rather see spring football than play in the fall, your traditional schedule? Would you rather they push that off into the spring? Maybe in the spring things are a little different. Maybe you can get people in the stands, even if not full stands, but some people in the stands. You know, tailgating is huge in college football. Could you get some people in the parking lot? Can things be closer to normal? I'm Patrick Creighton in for Mark Ryan, Offsides ESPN Upstate. These are all things that a few months ago were considered to be, well, you know, if the moon, the sun, and the stars align and everything goes straight to hell, could we do this? Well, here we are basically 2 months from the start of the season, and things might be going straight to hell. It's not just South Carolina or Florida or Texas or California. It's not just one state that's having huge spikes in the number of positive tests. It's a lot of states. It's our nation as a whole. Doesn't necessarily matter what state you're going to. They're all having issues like this. And if we're going to continue to be in an environment where we don't have a treatment, we don't have a vaccine for COVID-19. 90 guys on a roster is a lot of people. How would you feel about actual spring football? And I don't mean, you know, the XFL or the old USFL. College football playing in the spring. So you're talking about, oh, we have college football, college basketball, college baseball, all going on at the same time. You know, from a sports point of view, A, it would be insane, but let's flip it the other way. Let's say the NFL plays its schedule, or most of its schedule, in its normal time. Turn the calendar over. College football is no longer competing with the NFL. Now you're competing with the start of the NBA season, which is expected to now begin on Christmas. You're talking about competing against the NHL. Is that even really a competition? Don't get me wrong. I love hockey. Grew up playing hockey. And I got all the scars to prove it, but I have all my teeth. Grew up playing hockey. Love playing hockey. In the grand scheme of things, when it comes to competition for television viewers, competition for in-person spectators and dollars, it's not a competition. College football destroys the NHL. Presuming Major League Baseball gets spring training underway? March? College sports dominate the landscape if they don't start until January or February and then roll through the spring. See some record TV numbers for college football playing winter and spring. You know, we talked about how much risk is there when not just this what we're currently going through, as Dr. Fauci said, this is not the second wave. This is still the first wave. And they're talking about a second wave that could come November, December, and start a whole nother rash of infections. And like, can we stop the first one before we get to the second one, by the way? When you get to all of this stuff, is spring football a bad idea? Because personally, I would rather play football in an environment where I'm not as worried about a high infection rate among players, coaches, staffers, etc. Where I'm not, or at least I'm less worried about what if I have so many infections, we've got to shut down a conference. We've got a, you know, handful of schools here that basically need to stop playing for weeks at a time because they've got so many people infected. I would like as close to normal as we could legitimately get. And if that means playing in February instead of playing in October, yeah, it sucks, but it's better than not playing at all. And I'd rather see them play the full slate. And if the timeline from Dr. Fauci as far as when we could see a vaccine for COVID-19, he put it out as 6 to 9 months. If that means somewhere between December and March, we're talking about a legitimate vaccine. Okay, let's play when that happens. I know that there's a ton of money involved. And for everything in life, if you follow the money, you find the answers. But let's look at it from this point of view. If you are, let's say, a big-time NFL prospect. You're a star college football player. You are a huge prospect. You're expected to go sometime first round, second round, third round. Let's keep it to the first 2 days of the draft. That's where, you know, most of the money's getting spent, right? How much of a risk is it for you if you wind up getting coronavirus and the side effect to the virus is you permanently lose 20% of your breathing capacity? Or you get a blood clot, and blood clots apparently are a side effect of COVID-19. You get a blood clot that causes damage to a certain part of your body. You know, you don't have to die to have after effects of it. So if you're a player and you see how many of your fellow players around the country are all testing positive, do you want to play in the spring? I don't think it's a bad idea. And I understand that if college football and college basketball are both rolling through the spring, and college baseball might kind of get stepped on. How many of you really pay attention to college baseball? I love college baseball. But on the big picture, bigger stage, nobody's paying attention to college baseball. If I can have college football, and they keep saying last resort, but aren't we getting closer to that? Again, we're 2 months away from the beginning of the season. We're 6 weeks away from fan day. And we're going backwards. We're getting more restrictions. You know, things that were supposed to be opening, well, they're not opening. Or maybe they've been scaled back. Now you can't do this. You know, you look all over a bunch of different states and beaches are closing down. 4th of July weekend, they're closing down. Nobody's allowed on the beach. Got to close the bars down. If we can't have 100 people in the bar, How are we going to put thousands of kids in a school, let alone hundreds of people on a football field, let alone the idea of anybody in the stands?
Now,
the more we... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, now, what do you think the implications would be? Now, would they turn around and play college football in the fall again? Like, because that is a short turnaround for an offseason.
It would be a short turnaround for an offseason, but I do think that's exactly what they do. I think you'd have, you know, I mean, look, they don't really do a whole lot as far as, you know, when you get from where you play a spring game and then you really don't get anything again until you get to your preseason, you know, and guys coming in for camp. So for the guys on the team right now who play this year who aren't going to the NFL, who are going back to college, they're going to have that 1 year of a short turnaround. And recruiting is going to be important because who knows what kind of high school football we're going to have. I can tell you, I've talked to a lot of high school coaches. They all tell me they're going to play. But the more COVID-19 continues to infect people at higher and higher rates, I mean, right now, I don't even know if the local school district is going to open to students yet. All these things are on hold. So recruiting is going to be important for college teams. But yeah, this would be 1 year where everything would suddenly get kind of jammed down into each other. So like what's going to happen with the NBA. We get more into that. Plus, what's your confidence level on the NBA being able to pull this bubble off? I'm Patrick Crane in from Mark Ryan. This is Offsides on ESPN Upstate.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Patrick Crane in for my good friend Mark Ryan. This is Offsides on ESPN Upstate. You want in on the action here? It's easy to call 844-477-3776. 844-477-ESPN. Of course, on Twitter at PCrayton1 at THulk18. My buddy, big time Timmy H on the other side, the master controls. Now, Tim, you were asking in the last segment about, you know, what happens to college football if they play in the spring. Does it create this shortened timeline of when do, you know, players, when the season ends, how much time off do they have in the off season? When do they go back into training camp? When does the season start? And yeah, for 1 year, much like with the NBA, how, you know, we're going to see this 2 month roll through where they're going to play, you know, August, September, and then start the season up in December, which means they get to camp in November, 2 months. I think we're going to see the same thing with college football. I mean, fortunately, college football, you have a 90-man roster, so, you know, the whole damn world's on the football team in college. But, yeah, if they play, let's say they play in the spring, and they finish up in April, yeah, you're talking about them being back to off-season workouts in June, July, and then back to training camp in July into August, and then here we go. Season starts first week of September. For that 1 year, I think that'd be a really, really short turnaround, and your ability to recruit fresh blood into your system to go out and get all the best high school prospects you can get, I think it's going to be really important because those guys, depending on how many players go to the NFL, you know, the NFL canceled the supplemental draft So there's going to be a lot of guys who are going to be looking for the NFL draft next year. And you're going to need a lot of freshmen. Freshmen are going to have to play roles. You know, there might be less redshirted guys, more guys that have to play special teams, more guys that are specialists. And I think that is the one-year short-term after effect when it comes to how to get the sport back on track if they have to push everything into the spring because of COVID-19. But I don't think they'll have any problem doing it.
But then that's going to make the NFL draft seem kind of weird too, because like you have prospects like Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields that are most likely going to be coming out this year. How do you handle that? How do you handle pro days? How do you handle the combine? Is it enough time for them to kind of go through all that process and then go through the NFL draft and get drafted and then have enough time to get ready for the season, though?
Well, that becomes the NFL's problem. You know, for college football, I don't think they care if, in order for them to play a full season and make maximum money, that they have to play for, you know, February, March, April, have a title game in May, and then the NFL draft would have to be held, say, you know, late May, early June. And pro days are going to be hard to come by. You know, pro days were, you know, impossible this year. So I think that you're going to have, you know, kind of the same thing with the NFL, where they had to rely on their scouting and they had to rely on the film. And, you know, to me, we always make jokes come combine time of, all right, so we've got, what, 10, 11, 12 weeks of film on Saturday. Now let's watch them participate in the Underwear Olympics and see who's really any good. Right, because 12 games a regular season and a bowl game, that didn't tell you how good a player is going to be. No, we need to see him, you know, doing long jumps and spandex. That's going to tell us how good he's going to be. I always find the combine to be a mix of entertainment and complete, like, just pomp and circumstance. But that becomes the NFL's problem. If the NFL has to change a little bit of its timeline to account for college football season being earlier or later, then I don't think they'll have a problem doing it. I mean, they won't like it, but they'll do it. But it will come into play in this manner. If you're a team that's looking at Trevor Lawrence to come in and be your franchise quarterback for the next 12 years, you're probably getting a caddy for him the first year, because he'll have just played, you know, 12, 13 games. And most, you know, the rookie wall, how later in the season, okay, they're not used to playing this many games, they're not used to this much physicality. Well, do you then find a veteran to caddy for you, whether it's 4 games, 6 games, 8 games? Do you essentially redshirt, no, whether it's Trevor Lawrence or any other top quarterback prospect, et cetera, really anybody that you are looking to take, skill position player, first round, a guy that you think, you know, can have a big impact on your team, you're probably going to have to adjust your roster to have a legitimate caddy or alternate player. You know, if you're taking a running back in the second round, maybe you want to find a veteran running back that can at least split duties with a guy for half a season before you turn it over more to your rookie. If you're drafting a wide receiver, maybe you want to get an extra veteran wide receiver because maybe that rookie's going to hit a wall. Maybe, you know, are they a little bit more at risk for injury because they've played so much? I don't know the answers to that, but I do think it'll change how, for 1 year, how guys plan their rosters. Every sport is going to have to make an adjustment to how they create their roster, to what kind of style they want to play. You know, if you're talking about all my rookies coming in are guys who have played a lot of football in the last few months, maybe that team is going to look to, you know, be based more on speed and technique and style, as opposed to, you know, playing like a real hard smash mouth style, you know, the Ravens pull it off. The Titans pull it off as far as just smash mouth football. Most other teams, they don't play smash. The 49ers. Most other teams don't play that kind of brand of football. So it could have an effect on a lot of the NFL over the course of a year or two in the way that they draft, the way they construct their teams, the style in which they play. But that's not college football's problem. College needs to make whatever money they can make. And if that means, hey, we go to the spring because we can make $1.5 billion more dollars if we play in the spring than if we play in the fall, I don't know, $1.5 billion is a really hard number to pass up.
Now, but
I mean, think about things that you would do for $1 million, let alone $1 billion.
Right. Now, the thing is, what if that ended up being the college problem? Because, say, the star players, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, say, you know what, peace, I'm out. I'm going to get ready for the NFL draft. Now, would that become a college problem? Like, would that hurt them so much? Or would they? You think they'd still be able to be okay?
I think that is, look, if the NFL was to absolutely remain steadfast, hey, we're not changing anything, are they going to care if kids are still playing? Maybe not. Because if you're just talking about the draft, you don't actually have to prepare for the draft. We can prepare for the combine. Because you're being asked to do drills that you don't actually do in football. Like, nobody lines up on a block like a sprinter and runs a 40. But you've got to train like a sprinter in order to do that event. If they are going to run the combine and the college football season is still going on, is it possible that guys that don't have some kind of major bowl game aspiration might hit the pause button and say, hey, look, you know what? I got to look out for me. Yeah, that's possible, and I wouldn't blame them if they did it because millions of dollars are on the line. This is your livelihood. We know what the relationship is between athlete and university. You know, if you are a guy like a Trevor Lawrence, though, I don't think you give up your shot at a national title. I mean, if they had it, if there's three games left and Clemson's got two losses, which probably also means that Bears can fly, but would he say, okay, you know what, I'm going to end my season now and go get ready for the combine? Is that possible? I think it's extremely remote. I think guys that have something to play for play. The guys that we have seen in the past that have opted not to play their bowl games usually are playing who gives a flying rat's tail games. They're not conference champions. They're not major bowl games. They're certainly not CFP playoff games. So I think that absolutely makes a difference. We'll get more on to that on the other side. Patrick Creighton in for Mark Ryan. This is Offsides, ESPN Upstate. Patrick Creighton in for Mark Ryan. Offsides, ESPN Upstate, 844-477, ESPN, 844-477-3776. And, Tim, you know, when we were just talking about this, we'll wrap this up here. To me, if the NFL doesn't move the combine, if college football plays in the spring, they do a disservice to all their teams. Right, wasn't that the big gripe in the NFL this year? Oh, we can't have pro days. Oh, we can't bring guys in for visits. We can't go see anybody. Everything's got to be online. We can't do our draft prep and our homework on all these guys the way that we normally would. Well, if you do that again, you're kind of putting them in the exact same situation. So I would expect the NFL would move the combine if that were to be the situation where college football played in the spring. But it does bring up this kind of interesting side effect, which is, you know, from the end of the college football season to the combine, you know, there's a few months elapsed there. And, you know, there's winter break, and then there's spring break. And there's lots of opportunities for guys after the season have ended to just eat like champions. You know, when we were just talking off air, I said, you know, my freshman year, you talk about like that freshman 20. I didn't gain any weight my freshman year that first semester, but I went home over Christmas break, and my mom, you know, turned into, you know, the chef of all chefs, and I ate like a damn champion for 3 weeks, and I put on 15 pounds because mom was making goulash, and mom was making Sunday sauce, and cordon bleu, and like every giant, super elaborate meal my mom knew how to make, she wanted to make because I was home. So I'm just sitting there, I'm like, food, 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 food. Like, I ate like a champ. I've never eaten that much in my life. I mean, unless you count on my honeymoon because everything was free. But that's where I gained weight. If the combine is, let's say, going to be a month and a half after the season ends, these guys are still in football shape. They were still playing. They don't have this long layoff. It's probably easier for them to train for the combine and work on those specific drills because they didn't have that layoff. They didn't go chill for a month and eat everything under the sun and, you know, go grab any left-handed cigarettes or anything like that because, well, they didn't have any time. That could actually be an advantage. And if it does work out that way, I mean, I might wind up seeing guys do actually do better on a lot of those things, you know, because they don't have to then get in shape and then train for the combine. Because look, not all, some of these guys are going to get out of shape, you know, and guys who are injured, you don't have to worry about, look, they're injured. It's not going to make a difference. But a guy who gets hurt early in the season, doesn't have that layoff where he's all right. Well, I really can't do anything. The season's over. Maybe my motivation's not that strong. Hey, combine's right there at the end of the year. I got something to work towards. I got a goal. I got something to go chase. Having that carrot for the athlete is really important. When you have no motivation, it's a lot harder to stay on focus and stay on track. Having that carrot right there at the end of the season, you know, that makes a difference. Gives you a little something to chase after. It gives you something to work towards. You know, it's your reward at the end of everything. You know, here's your cookie. Here's your video game. The end of everything, you want to get a good piece of pizza because, man, I can tell you, having traveled outside the New York City area, there's not a lot of good places to get pizza. But, man, when you can find a good pizza place wherever you are, it hits different, man. It feels good. Get yourself a nice, good old piece, a big old slice. All right. Coming up next, what is your confidence level the NBA can actually pull off its bubble? Because a big-time star doesn't think it's going to happen. We get to it next. Patrick Graydon in for Mark Ryan. This is Offsides on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.